Like, so first of all, I would like to thank you, the organizers, for inviting me here for this wonderful day of the Dynamics Day. So I'm working on the computational neuroscience with Sue-Ann Campbell from the University of Waterloo and Francis Skinner in the Toronto Western Research Institute, University of Toronto. So today I will discuss about my current work, what I'm working in my postdoc research. I recently started a few months before on this computational modeling of the CAT hippocampal network. So in the so here will be the strategy. First of all, I will discuss something about the brief introduction of my of the brain modeling and what do we mean some biology, and then we go to the model, some simulation results, then eventually we will discuss some preliminary results from the networking modeling, then how we connect all the neurons together to get some nice simulation results. So let me talk something very interesting facts about the brain. So the brain holds about 2% of our body, but it consumes about 20% of the energy. So this energy is enough to light about 25 watt bulb. So it consumes a lot of energy of our body, although it holds only 2% of the weight. So there are about 100 billion neurons in our human brain. So that is maybe the more than the total number of the stars in our galaxy. So there are more electrical impulses are generated in one day by a single human brain than by all the telephones in the world. So we have a lot of signals are generated in the human. An average human brain produces about 70,000 thoughts per day, and about 1,000 milliliters of the blood flow through the brain in every minute. And in that minute, the brain will consume about 46 cubic centimeters of the oxygen from that blood. So it's about 1/5 of the cup of the oxygen. So there are some interesting facts. So let me give you some introduction about the neurons, how the neuron look like. So it's a very typical structure of the neuron. So you can see you can easily distinguish between the different parts. So this is the cell body. So it's called the stroma of the cell body. So you can see small branches are coming out of the cell body. So these are the dendrites. So these are the main branches. So where we have all the synaptic inputs are terminated, and afterwards we have we have some kind of the calculation or the decision making factory over here, and then afterward the decisions are made and they will be transmitted to the different parts of the body and through these long axon, and these are the axon terminals. So what is the input to this? So we have the synaptic input to from the dendrite, and the output is in terms of this action potential. So we have, whenever we have this thing action potential, so it produces some of the action potential. Action potential is the change in the value of the transmembrane potential into the neuron. So now let me talk something about the hippocampus. So what do we mean by the hippocampus? Is a very important part of the brain. So and it is responsible for the formation of the memories and for the spatial navigation. And if we have some kind of the problem in the hippocampus, so all kind of the neurological diseases like which involve the memory formation, like the Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, and other kinds of, so it can be occurred due to the defect in the hippocampus. So the hippocampus is considered the very important part, which is considered to be which is responsible for the formation of the new memories, spatial navigation, and So this is the part of the hippocampus. So if we have the slice preparation for this hippocampus, you can see we can easily distinguish different parts of the hippocampus. CA1 region, CA3 region, dendritic gyrus. We have some information is coming from the entorhinal cortex. We have some kind of the pathway, the Mossi fibers, and all these. So these are the different regions, and the information flows from the region CA3 to CA1 and to dendritic gyrus. And this kind of the mechanism will explain to you how the information will flow inside the hippocampus. CA3 region. So why the CA3 region? CA3 region is hold a very strategic position in the hippocampus because it receives the sensorial information from the external and the internal environment via the two main pathways, the Mossi fibers and the perforate pathways. So as I've shown you here, so it has the Mossi fibers and the perforate pathway, so it has received the information, and it is also it is essential part, so which is for the formation of the memory memory and specifically in the memory consolidation in the special information. Another important aspect of this CA3 region, the CA3 pyramidal neuron. The pyramidal neurons are the excitatory units of the neuron. So there are two kinds of the neuron exist generally. Either they are the excitatory neuron, depend are the inhibitory neurons. So the pyramidal neurons are the excitatory neurons. So it depends, like the excitatory or the inhibitory depend on this their firing pattern, that how they fire and they communicate depending on the polarization. And so the pyramid, we are just modeling, consider currently right now working on the CAD pyramidal neurons. And the main property of the CA3 pyramidal neuron, they mainly commute through the burst of the spikes. Instead of the other single spikes, they have the bursting of the spikes. So, and I will show you what do we mean by the bursting. So CA3 pyramidal neuron, they communicate through the burst of the spikes. Okay, so let's talk something about the model of the key feature. So as I discussed, like all the neurons, they fire and they communicate through the firing pattern. So it means that the firing is similar to the action potential I show you in the spike. So the spiking characteristics of this CA3 neuron, it has been observed, they have a specific features. So first of all, the half width of the spike. So if we have the half width of the spike should be in the range of the 1 plus minus 0.1 milliseconds. DVDT, it should be 101.6 millivolt per millisecond. Amplitude of the spike should be around 100 millivolt. Fast after hyperpolarization, so it's very important factor in the spiking characteristics, so it should be in this range. So this is these should be the characteristics of this spike. So because whenever we have the spiking, so you see that we have this kind of spiking in all the neurons, so they communicate. So this is the amplitude of the spike after hyperpolarization, that is how far they can go after the spike is finished, and amplitude and these things. Other characteristics of the CA3 neuron, so they have, whenever we have the weak input currents, it should be in the range of the 50 to 400 picoamperes. We have the strong input current above the rear base is the amount of the current we need to have some spike. So it is the minimum amount of the current which can generate a spike in the neuron. Early and the late spike, so it should be in this whenever we inject the current. So these are all these experimental results. We don't have any kind of the modeling, so we just got in vitro and in vivo results. So they have in the living animals and in the lab, they have it from this hippocampus paper. So these are the results. So we are interested to model, to develop a very simple mathematical model, which can satisfy all these characteristics. Why we need a very simple mathematical model? Because we need to develop a networking network of these neurons, which contains maybe thousands of neurons. Because if we make very complicated models, so it will not be easy to have the simulation as the results. So we are just trying to develop a very simple model, but these simple models should be realistic so that it can satisfy all the biological phenomena and it should satisfy all these conditions. So further, in the simple only CA3 region, so we have the three different kind of the firing pattern has been observed. First of all, we have the regular firing with the strong spike frequency adaptation. What do we mean by the frequency adaptation? We can have the firing like this period of the firing can be changed. So we can have the strong frequency adaptation, almost 8 to 10 spikes in the first 400 milliseconds time span. We have the weak and no spike frequency adaptation, like all we have almost kind of the regular spiking of the neuron, so all the neurons are spiking very regularly, so we don't see any kind of the significant adaptation. Or we can also see the third kind of the category of the neurons which are present in the CA3 region are the bursting neurons. So the bursting neuron is the very interesting phenomenon of this neuron. So the characteristics of these neurons, they burst in the beginning, then they remain silent. There is no burst. at all. So they just fire just in the for the first few milliseconds, then they remain silent for the rest of the time. So almost 37% of the neurons satisfy this strong frequency adaptation, 46% they have the spike frequency adaptation, and almost 70% they have the first rapid burst, like 5 to 6 spikes in the approximately 50 hertz frequency in the first 400 milliseconds and so on. In the first 100 milliseconds of the 400 millisecond pulse. So these are also have been observed from this experimental data. So let's talk something about our model. So recently this kind of the model has been developed by Eugene Izikiewicz. So he is working in the computational neuroscience, working in the bifurcation stuff and all these things. So he developed a very simple kind of the model, but this model is very simple, and and it captures all the biological realistic mechanism of the spiking. So what we did, we adopted this model and we modified this model according to our characteristic, because this is a very general kind of the model, so we cannot have all this. So we modify all these parameter values, so like the K, A, B, C, and D, and in order to get our characteristics, the spike characteristics of our system. So here we the transmembrane potential of this neuron, and U is the recovery current of the neuron. And I will define them in the next slide. So what are the values, and what do we mean by the parameter value A, B, C, and D? And V peak is the spike cutoff value. So when it is adjusted according to the point, the amplitude of the spike of the CAC neuron, and we see the reset value of the spike, like after spiking, so we will bring it back to our resting position, and U is the, and D is the inward and outward minor current. And we will discuss that how can we find these kind of these parameters. C is the membrane capacitance. So it's, we choose the value of the 352.5 picofarad. So this value is actually calculated based on the information available on the neuromorpho archive for the CA3, particularly CA3 neuron. And we use this archive, and we also use the experimental results discussed in this previously Hammond paper, and we just adjusted these values to get these very realistic value for this capacitance. VR and the VT are the resting and the threshold membrane potential, and their values are also taken from this experimental data, and because we need to keep these values so that it should be more biologically realistic whenever we use our model. VP is the peak potential, and we adjusted this value according to our situation so that we can find some nice amplitudes for the spikes. So here's some description of the parameters. So you can see that from this equation, so whenever the value of the transmembrane potential is greater than the V peak, so the V and the U values are reset to its values. And here the A is the time scale for the recovery variable. Smaller value means we have the slow recovery. B is the sensitivity of the recovery variable. U to the sub-threshold fluctuation of the membrane potential. C is the after spike rest value of the membrane potential. D is the after spike reset value of the recovery variable. And K is the scaling factor for the transmembrane for the membrane potential. And these are the units. So there is one general way. So how can we define, how can we calculate these values for this these parameter values? So these parameter values, this will give you some kind of the general idea. But of course, we cannot find exact values for this A, B, C, D, and K value, because we need to adjust these values according to our situation. Like what kind of the spikes, what kind of the characteristics of the spike we want to get, and what should be the behavior of the neuron should be. So for example, here, so you can see, in order to find the B and K, so we have, if you remember the equation, so this is the steady state equation for the current, and I infinity is the sub threshold part of the steady state IV relation, I0 is the sub threshold part of the instantaneous IV relation. And in order to find the B and K, we need to maximize this sub-threshold part of the steady-state IV relation, and its maximum will give you the zero-based current. That is the minimum amount of the current which can generate the first spike in the neuron. So we can have its derivative with respect to V, and its maximum value will give you the zero-based value for the current, like whenever we get the first spike. And similarly, if we take derivative with respect to V, and at VI it will correspond to the input conductance, that how much conductance do we need for this for the neuron. And once we have these two equations, we can solve them simultaneously, and it will give you some idea for what will be the value of the B and K. Similarly, we can have the value of the A. A is the time scale for the recovery variable, which is equivalent to the inactivation of the potassium current, and therefore its value will be 1 over inactivation time for the potassium current. D describes the total amount of the outward minus the inward current and during the spike, and affecting the after spike behavior. So therefore, for each model we use the different values of the D in order to obtain some reasonable results. So D value is not, it depends on like how can we adjust. And the C is, of course, as I mentioned before, C is the reset value. It also has been used, it has been adjusted in order to get the after spike behavior or the fast after hyperpolarization potential, FAHP. So as I mentioned in the beginning, like we have the three kind of the characteristics of the CAT neuron. So we have the strong adaptation, we have the weak adaptation, we have the first bursting kind of the behavior. So the strong adaptation, we have so it means that we need three models for our neurons. So we can the characteristics all these things. So we have so for the different, for example, for the type model one, so which has the kind of the strong adaptation value. So we use these values are the A, B, C, D, and K, and for the different values of the injected current, so I can show you the simulation in the next step. So for the different injected values of the current, we can get the different values. So for example, I is equal to 400 picoamperes current, we can get the early spike, 1100, we get the strong adaptation. If we increase the value of the current, we get the more spiking. Similarly, we have the late spike, weak adaptation, more spiking for the higher values of the current for the model 2 and the model 3. We have the early spike, we have the burst, as I mentioned here in the figure, and we have the longer duration burst for the higher values of the current, and so on. So here the some simulation results for our first model. So you can see this is the experimental paper, experimental results from the Hammond paper we just got from the CAT neuron, and this is the result what we got after by using our simple model. It's for the first model. So we have all the amplitude and these things tested. Similarly, we have, if we increase the value of the current, you can see we have the strong adaptation in the spikes, and all these values like the half width of the spike, amplitude of the spike, First FAHP values after hyperpolarization potential, all these things are satisfied, all these things. So actually this is the cutoff value for this current, so they can have the strong adaptation eventually. So, and if increase more value of the current, so you can see more spikes, and for the adaptation. Similarly, if you can go to the model 2, yes. So let me go to the, we can go to the model 2, we have the same kind of the characteristics. So we have the weak adaptation, more spikes. Similarly for the model 3, so we can have experimental and our model results. We have the 90, so you can see the burst in the beginning and eventually there is no thing. So as I mentioned in the beginning, like it's a very simple model. It's a very simple model in the sense it has the two, it's a two-dimensional dynamical system. So we can combine all these models in order to get a network modeling. So there are eventually different kind of the network modeling exist in this biological phenomena. So we have the feed-forward networking and we have all-to-all coupled network. So feed-forward network, every next neuron is getting the getting the input from this previously network, and all-to-all coupling, because the CAT neuron is a highly recurrent network, so they have the very strong recurrentary connection. So they're not only getting the feedback from themselves, but they are also getting the feedback from rest of the all the neurons in this huge network. So that's why let me show you quickly the few simulations of this networking, because we are just in the beginning of the simulation of the networking. We just start with the very few small networks. So first of all, so here the model of this networking. So the same kind of the model, we have some external current, we have some kind of the synaptic current, so which is connected to this synaptic gating variable. So this synaptic gating variable depends on the presynaptic membrane potential, in the sense that whenever we have the presynaptic membrane fire, so it will increase the value of the S, and it will eventually increase the postsynaptic potential in the neuron, for the neuron. So this variable, so you can see that it's a kind of the 4-cell model. So each dot in this diagram will represent a fire. So for example, in the fourth neuron, which is of the model type 3, so you can see this dot will represent when the neuron will fire, and you can see that we can see a kind of the bursting behavior. So although we did not see any kind of the this regular kind of the bursting in the single neuron, but whenever we connect them all together in this feed forward network, so you can see that we can have some kind of the regular bursting in the whole. So the network mechanism is totally sometimes different than the how the single neuron will behave. So similarly, we can have some 6-cell, you can see slightly bursting behavior. And this thing is very interesting, so we don't have any kind of the external injected current, all the synaptic current, but still we can see the bursting in the networking. So similarly, we have some result from all-to-all coupled. So this is the synchronized firing of all-to-all equations. So we have each dot represent when the neuron fires. These are the number of the neuron, the time scale in the milliseconds. And finally, you can see these are just some of the preliminary that we have to connect all thousands of the neurons together to get some firing behavior. So some of the bursting behavior you can see from here, and so on. And that's all. So there are some of the references we already have over here. And but actually, we want to find the mechanisms of why the bursting mechanism can occur whenever we have the networking connection, all the neurons are there. We are just trying to answer all many questions similar to these. All right. Thank you very much.